All right, so here we go. Tabernet Talks, another episode. Actually, this is episode 20. I did look it up. All right, last week somebody questioned me, like, I don't know how to count. It was 19 last week. It's 20 this week. So awesome. So I'm right on that. We got a good one today. I say that every week, but I mean it this time. All right, we got a good one. I got a guy who's on the front line every day, right? He's been in the business, right? He's experienced. I've had new realtors on. I've had experienced realtors on, and I figured let's bring back an experienced guy here who knows the market. He's a big Northeast Philly realtor, right?
Yes.
With Remax Access, right?
Yes.
He's been there for a long time. John Mendes, right? So I welcome you on, and I think that this is going to be really what we want to hear, right? So
absolutely.
If you're sensitive to your ears, and you know, maybe you should turn this off then.
Right. So,
yep. Right. So tell us about yourself first, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. I got licensed originally in 2006.
Wow.
So it's been a long time.
So what did I say, right? This guy's been around.
So it's,
that's good.
Yeah, it's been a very long time. When I started, I was part-time, had another full-time job. And then eventually that full-time job, I figured out a way where I could do it part-time. And then after I did it part-time for a while, then eventually it was somewhere, I can't remember if it was at the end of 08 or the beginning of 09, somewhere in there is when I eventually, quit that job. And then I was, since then, just full-time real estate.
Yeah. So full-time in 08 and 09, which was the bomb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Market that, we saw the big, turn down and all that. So I guess you were saying, this is an opportunity to take the market further? Or what was your thinking?
To be honest, the whole interest in real estate and how I got started and all that, really, it just came from, I needed to learn something. I needed to do something, a job, a career, something. And where I was working currently, I didn't want to go any further with it. I didn't want to get promoted. I didn't want to, I knew I just wanted to go a different direction, but I knew I needed to learn something.
Okay.
And then somehow in a couple different ways, I got turned on to real estate and realized that, you can go and take these classes and it's not like a 4-year degree.
Yeah.
It's literally like maybe a couple months of classes. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
No clue.
Right.
I
don't think anybody says I want to be a real estate agent when they grow up, right? Or a loan officer.
Right. Right. Yeah. I just all I knew is that I was going to go and learn something. And then that was exciting because I needed to do something with myself. I needed to make something happen.
Right, right.
I don't have a college degree. So it's like, there's many other people that have these college degrees and there's jobs out there that just require a 4-year degree in anything. So if you have that 4-year degree, you're eligible for this job. So I didn't have that luxury that, I could just go get this really cool job making good money just for the fact that I have this degree. Well, I didn't have that luxury. So I had to just think outside the box. I had to just try something. So,
it's a true hustler, right? I mean, when you don't have the school, you don't have the college degree, and you just got to go on the street and really make it happen.
Right. And it's just, I'm very thankful that I found real estate and, got started in it. And like I said, when it was 08, 09, and, there was like a downturn or whatever I really wasn't even paying attention to that. All I was just paying attention to was trying to make this business happen, trying to grow my business. And, that's all I was concerned about. And that's all I was doing.
So the good thing that he just said is he doesn't let the market dictate what is going on, right? So with him personally, right? He's just going out there producing anyway. Like the problem in the market right now is that the realtors and the loan officers all watch the news and care about what's going on in the market. Oh, it's bad. But most guys that are like us have been in it a long time. We just keep going, right?
Right.
It's just, we got to make it happen anyway.
Right.
The market, we can't change the market. So we just got to go out there and do it anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
100%.
So listen, you've been with Remax a long time, man.
Basically the entire time.
I've never switched.
I never left.
That is crazy.
Pretty crazy now that I think about it. So this interview today is just like a big look in the mirror for me.
Yeah.
With these questions.
Like this question I really hit me. I've known your name, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've been in it a long time. So, why have you never moved to like a KW or a Compass or like EXP or all these other big shots that are coming out of nowhere saying, like, why RE/MAX and specifically this office?
Right. Wow. This is a gigantic question. I'm going to have to try to make this a...
Hold on. I'm going to
try to make this, not too long of an answer.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what?
We only have certain time here, right?
Right.
Okay.
Number one, I have loyalty for sure. It's just built in me, I guess.
Which is awesome.
That's the first thing, you know? And I would say also that I would see other agents just jump from company to company. They would spend a year there and then they leave. And then I would notice that they went to this other company. Now they're a year there.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that they left again and they went to another company.
Right.
So, and I realized that like, it just seems like, you know, all these agents, they're just looking for the, what do you call it? That the grass is greener.
Sure.
You know,
well, I know.
Well. And with that, I realized that like, you know what, like it's about what I do. It's about like, you know what I mean? Like I can't, to me, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Like I said, here's the thing to answer your question.
I mean, does the owner of this branch love you? I mean, they must love you because you've been there.
I hope so.
Right? You gotta be. Yeah. I mean, they must really think, because listen, I've been with Greentree for 8 years and not to say I walk on water there, but they're very happy that a loan officer stayed with the company for 8 years. And you're obviously a lot more than that. So they must think you are, what we want.
Yeah.
Right? So it's that.
Maybe, you know, I don't know. So, but, you know, it's just, like I said, I've always looked at it like, you know, I don't know if the grass is greener over there, you know, and obviously these agents I see that keep on hopping to this other company. Then I see that they're hopping from that company to the next company.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're searching for something, but it seems like, you know, you really just got to search.
And I'm sure you've been offered these big bonuses, right? To go to different places.
I don't know if I've been offered bonuses, but
sign on bonuses.
I've definitely interviewed, you know, I've had, you know, calls like other agents get. I did meet with some other companies and sat down and talked with them for sure. And I've done that over the years.
I'm sure.
And like I said, every time I would do it, it would just feel like, you know what, let me just focus on working on my business. Like, I feel like if I go and I jump to this other company, I don't know. It just never felt right, you know? And I do appreciate the company that I'm with and, you know, and how, you know, they have my back and, you know, and...
loyalty, you don't find loyalty in real estate right now, I hate to say. I mean, there are loyalists like him and like me and like a few select guys that I can think of at the top of my head that stay with their companies for a long time, but you don't find it. Like you said, I see loan officers jump to this company and that company and that company. Hey, listen, sometimes it works, okay? But very rarely does it work. And it only goes for a little amount of time. And once the money runs out that they gave you or whatever the perks they gave you, it goes back to being normal again, and then you're right back to where you began.
Right, yeah. And you know, the interesting thing is, like, I wish I could know this, but, you know, I have no idea what it's like to be at another company.
Yeah,
so that's kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
I don't know what it's like to be at the Keller Williams. I don't know what it's like to have, you know, went to this other company and spent a year or two there.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, am I doing the wrong thing? You know, am I being, you know, too loyal, or am I, you know, close-minded, or, you know, what I'm saying, is it a mistake I'm making, or is it, you know, not a mistake?
I don't think it's a mistake because your business is still thriving, right? Mm-hmm. You've survived. So if it was a mistake, I think you'd be gone.
Right.
You know,
right. So, absolutely.
You know, you got to look at it that way.
Yeah.
The positives and definitely not the negatives. I mean, listen, have I thought to myself, if I moved to this company, I may have been able to produce more, do whatever, you know, but that's, you don't know that. And I'm already doing good where I'm at. You're right. So why would I bother?
Right. So, you know, we shall see, you know, as time goes on, like, you know, I don't know what the future holds, you know, but I do realize, you know, that there's also power in changing your mind. There is power in and going out there and trying something different. So again, what the future holds, I'm not sure yet. But yeah, as of today, it's still since 2006, RE/MAX. And, you know, I've grown to really like RE/MAX, you know, and how RE/MAX is. And, you know, so I guess that's,
And then what's the, you know, so I we, you know, obviously we do research on everybody who comes on, and John is a Hall of Fame realtor, you know, with mm-hmm. RE/MAX, which is not easy to be. Mm-hmm. You know, how does one become a Hall of Fame agent? Like what do you got to do in order to do that? Like, is it, you know, is it a constant grind 7 days a week? Or do you shut down here and there?
Right. To be honest, it used to be a constant grind 7 days a week, but I've since kind of like, to be honest, like, you know, this is going to be a tough answer, you know, so I hope I don't take too long on this answer, but, you know, 2024, this
we'll
is
do
a whole,
part one and part two episode.
Yeah, right? So might have to. So 2024 is, I think a whole new ball game.
Okay.
To be honest.
Yep.
I think starting, you know, a couple of years ago till today, 2024 is just different. You know, but over the years, what I've done is I just, you know, would meet people, I would create relationships, and then I'm super thankful for the people that gave me a chance, you know, my first couple of years in real estate, and the people that gave me a chance the first couple of years that now snowballed, you know, into them referring me.
Okay.
And then, you know, I would basically for my whole career just worked with, you know, people referring me. And super appreciative. It's just been amazing, and it's an amazing feeling. So I've never been the, you know, the lead hunter, the cold caller. So I saw you had some guests on. They were talking about cold calls.
That's
and
all they do.
Different tactics, sure. different things. So, sure. and,
yeah.
you know, as people said, everything works, you know. But in the beginning, you know, you have to, you know, start out meeting people and then, you know, sphere of influence, family and friends, and then people that give you a chance. And then I'm super appreciative to the people that did. And then still today, I'll receive referrals that could be from a client, you know, that I helped 5 years ago, a client that I helped 10 years ago. And then I get a phone call today
from a friend, a
family, or even them again, repeat business because now they're making a move and it's 10 years later.
Sure.
You know, whatever. So,
I mean, do you have a CRM at all?
You know, to be honest,
probably not, right? I mean,
listen,
you know.
Here's my biggest weaknesses. And again, like I said, doing this interview today is like a look in the mirror. And to be honest, I'm not happy and satisfied with where I'm at today, 2024, looking in the mirror of my business. So
well, how about this? Then we're going to ask you the ultimate question. What would you change? What do you think you should have done that's making you not happy with where you're at in 2024?
Great question.
Basically,
I need to, you know, do all the things that I either don't know how to do or don't want to do.
Right.
And I need to start doing them.
Right, right.
Basically, that's the simple answer.
Okay.
And that is like, you know, having a super CRM that's super organized and it tells you, you know, when you should call your clients and do all this stuff. So I'd love to be technically organized. I'd love to be doing different activities where I'm keeping in touch with my clients. So basically that's my weakness. My weakness is I got to get organized where, you know, just with technology, because again, the technology is unbelievable.
Do you think you shot yourself in the foot by not doing these things 5 years ago?
100%.
Okay.
100% I have. So again, not that like, you know, again, I still have business, but it's,
you know, you think the way I think, man. I mean, it's like, there's things that I think that I should have done different in my business too, you know, because when you're in it as long as you are and as long as I am, you think to yourself, you know, I should have had that CRM set up 5 years ago. You know, I should have been doing, you know, pop buys and you know, gifts or letters to my past clients and maybe events that had client appreciation.
100%.
I should have done that.
Right. So, oh my, I can make a pretty long list of the shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Let's not get depressed here. All right.
I'm not.
We want to try to keep this up, all right? Because now I'm getting depressed.
right. No, so to answer, you know, circle back around and answer your question here, you know, again, how I got to the, you know, Hall of Fame Club with RE/MAX, you know, was just, you know, it was grinding. It was, you know, and every client I take on, I absolutely put my heart and my soul. You know,
it's good.
Gets on, you know, my heart and soul gets laid out on the table.
Yeah.
You know, when I start helping a client and,
well, that's obvious because you're here,
I try to do my absolute best, you know, and taking care of them with whatever their situation is, buying or selling. And, you know, that's just what I've always done. And I felt, you know, just really like, you know, when I'm helping somebody, I'm 100% real, yeah.
Right.
You know, just authentic, right. You know, being myself, but being myself that I actually care.
Right.
I actually give a F,
right.
You know,
and give me your personal opinion here on what realtors are missing, what you're seeing in other new realtors that they should have that they don't have, you know, what I mean?
You know what? That's a tough question to answer because again, all I can speak for is me and
sure.
myself, you
right.
know, so,
well, I'm sure you run into a lot of other realtors that you work with on the other side of the deal, right? And
definitely.
I'm sure you have some
definitely.
Of your gripes there.
I would say
what communication, I guess, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I would say right now, especially now, you know, there's a lot of realtors out there advertising, hey, you know, call me because we get it done.
Yeah.
Well, what exactly is getting it done? You know what I mean? So I was never somebody who, you know, really just was a pushy salesman person where I'm trying to get somebody to buy something, where I'm trying to get them to make that offer. Like, that's just not me.
Right.
You know, I help them. I educate them.
Sure.
I always approach, you know, my clients sort of like a teacher, you know, and I explain to them, you know, what's going on, how to do this, how to do that, what are their options. And then I always ask them to, like a client might say, hey, I'm going to do this. And there's times where I said, are you sure? You know, like I would basically stop them in their tracks
yeah.
and make them take a second
sure.
to take a look at what they're doing, make sure that they're okay with it.
And you never built your own team, right? Like you never got into any of that either.
I didn't. And so where I'm at today is like, you know,
I guess you could have done that, right? With all the years of experience that you have.
I absolutely can. So I absolutely
sure.
can today. So,
yeah.
so as we were just talking about like the shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know, obviously the shoulda, woulda, coulda
was
is the past,
them.
Is
was
over. So
right, right.
what we got to focus on today is today.
Yeah.
Who cares about what happened? I mean, you know, or
good.
What you didn't do. It's about today. So that's why I feel like I'm
don't live in the past.
Right. I'm at a crossroads today about like, hey, what do I do? Because I've seen, you know, realtors that have been in the business as long as I have, and they've went on to become broker owner of their own company. They went on to have this large team. So, and here I am, and I didn't do those things. And I've seen other realtors go and, you know, and now they have their own construction company.
Right.
They're doing that kind
yeah.
of real estate. So,
well, listen, they have their own stresses too. Like, you know, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we got to think of that too, right? There's loan officers that went and became mega producers over me because they did a lot of things that I probably should have done too. But I talked to them and they have their own issues too, right? So,
right.
you know, so the grass isn't greener sometimes even building that huge team. Then you have 20 problems. You know, versus
right,
just
right.
me and you
exactly.
having our own problem.
Right.
right?
So, you know, to go back to answer your question, you know, your question was kind of like, you know, what are these new agents or other agents doing that are not so good, right?
Right.
It's kind of your question.
Right,
so
yeah.
I really,
because
you know,
because I think coming from a guy like you, they're going to listen to this, right?
right?
Because they're probably, you've been in it since 2006. So you are a guy that they're going to listen to say, what do you think I'm doing wrong?
Right. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, like I said, right now, like, you know, the first and foremost is, you know, you need to take care of your client,
yeah.
you know, and that's really what it comes down to. And then you can tell when there's, you know, if somebody's trying to just sell something to you and they're trying to sell something to you really fast. And I don't like being sold at all. I get calls where I get stuck on the phone because this person's trying to sell me this whole marketing program
sure.
and all that. That happens all the time.
I know.
And I am just disgusted.
So much.
And I'm too nice that
yeah,
I don't just click the button
right,
and hang
just listen.
Up.
Yeah,
I literally
yeah.
just, you know,
right.
I let them do their spiel and, you know, I listen to it. But it's
they
just,
say
it,
a salesman is always has the softest heart for another salesman. You know what I mean? That's, you know, we listen to you guys, right? Because
right.
because we're in the same business.
Right.
Versus my wife's like, you know, hang up. Tell
right.
the guy you're not interested. Shut
right.
the door on him. Don't
right.
answer the door. Here I am listening to the whole spiel
right.
saying, okay, yeah, you know, I mean, that's the salesman
right.
listening to another salesman. You have a heart.
Yeah. And let me tell you, when I'm on that call like that, it doesn't feel good.
I know.
That's somebody that I've never tried to be. You know, I just be myself. And like I said, I just want to help you do what you're trying to accomplish. So if
yeah.
you're trying to buy your first home,
yeah.
you need to sell your current home. Purchase a new one, whatever your situation is. I'm just, you know, I'm going to come to you, approach you. I'm not one of the things that, you know, I'm not fancy. So I'm not going to show up at your house, you know, at a listing appointment, and I got all these like cool things and videos and graphics and all that. Like, I'm not fancy, but I will tell it to you straight.
Yeah.
You know, how I'd like to help you, and here are your options, and here's what I think might be the best road to do this, and you know, so I'm there to help you, but I'm not sugarcoating things. I'm going to be brutally honest about the pros and the cons, the negatives, the what ifs. You know, I'm always cautious, so I have to do that in this business. I'm always looking ahead.
Yeah.
So how's this going to go?
Right.
You know, so I always go to a seller and I say, what if this? What if that? You know, so we have to. And I go to a seller and say, listen, you know, you can't. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict exactly what's going to happen, how this is going to go. But you can design and predict the process.
Yeah.
Like, and how, what are your options? Should we approach it this way or approach it this way or do it this way or do it that way? You know, so that's one of the things I do. You know, but again, I'm still trying to answer your question. Did I answer your question yet?
You've answered many questions,
you know, so
not just one,
you know, but back to your question. So like, you know,
you're on part two of question one,
right? You know, so it's, you know, if an agent gets in this business, it's not about, you know, shoving them into a deal. It's not about shoving them into, you know, forcing them to, you know, make decisions that might not be the best for them. It's about, you know, letting them know all their options. It's about, hey, you know, I say to clients all the time, you know, how do you feel? You know, how do you feel about it? You know, and make, you know, you have to look at things logically and practically, but at the same time, I always tell clients, feel good about every decision you make.
Sure.
You know, so if you're about to make a decision and, you know, maybe you are a little cautious and scared or whatever, but that's one thing. And that's okay. Cause you know, doing real estate, buying or selling, you know, it's a lot of money involved. It's these are big decisions and big things. So of course you're going to feel cautious. Of course you're going to feel apprehensive and worried about it. But at the same, there's a difference between if you just have this bad gut feeling that, you know, I don't know if I want to do this or whatever it is, then don't. Hurry up, turn around,
right,
run the other way,
right,
before you get yourself too deep into this.
I know.
Or you can't turn around. So
right.
These are, that, you know, piece of advice is something that I've been preaching for years to my clients, you know.
To feed off what he's saying, you know, once you get yourself too deep into something, you really can't get out of it. And, you know, loan officers and realtors, you know, we get ourselves in problems sometimes that we probably could have avoided, right?
100%.
You know, there's deals that I say to myself, I don't know why I took this deal on. I knew that it was going to be messed up to begin with, right? I just sit back and say, just so stupid. I should have just said, you know what, we can't do this deal, or here's a problem. Instead, sometimes you let desperation, or, you know, you let money or whatever it is cloud your decision, right? And then you try to say, let's just try to make the deal work, right? And pray that it's going to go and that there's not going to be any issues. Although, you know, deep down, this thing's probably not the best thing to be doing. And this deal's probably going to blow up. And then it does blow up. And then everybody's, you know, then it turns into a big mess. And then you feel like you can't get out of it. So, you know, desperation is a big thing right now in this market because there's not that many deals being done. And I think you're right. People are jamming people into things that probably shouldn't be happening, and then you really regret it.
Oh, 100%. Like, I say this, you know, to maybe a current client I would be working with, like, they might ask me a question about something, and I say, you know what? There's probably some people in some bad situations right
that
now
would say yes to it. And
you know?
Yeah. So,
thankfully, I'm not aware of any that I'm personally, you know, a client that I'm personally helping, you know, because, again, like for example, you know, here's a good example of thoughts just popped into my head. This was, you know, I have so many stories that I could probably keep us going for a very long time, obviously since 2006.
I think is there a keg in here somewhere downstairs?
Yeah.
Four star points
absolutely.
Beer maybe?
I could use a drink for sure.
We'll do a 6-hour show. Why not?
100%. You know, but like, for example, you know, about the care, about looking ahead, about approaching things cautiously. I remember this was so many years ago, but you know, there was a friend of a friend of a friend situation. You know, they listed their house for sale. They didn't call me, you know. So and the this is when the market started to get hot. And so the realtor he chose listed the house. I think it sold in a weekend. Okay. Him as, you know, the seller, they signed a contract, you know, accepted somebody's offer.
Sure.
Then it was that, might have even been like a day or two later. It was like a Sunday. I can't remember if it was a Sunday or a Monday, but then now I get the phone call. And he calls me up because, again, he knows me, you know, but he didn't use me, but he knows me. So,
right.
And he said, John,
I know where this is going.
How do I get out of this contract?
Yeah.
How do I, like, because he realized that
it was a mistake.
Well, he realized that there's no houses available.
Right. Where am I going to go?
And he just signed this contract to sell his house. I don't remember like how fast the settlement was. You know, who knows? It could have been.
Where am I going to go?
30 days, 45 days. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, John, how do I get out of this contract? So I just gave him the best advice, you know, I could. And he, you know, obviously I couldn't. There's nothing I can actually do but just give you my tips and my advice, you know.
Yeah.
So he went back to his agent and then they quickly asked the buyer. And the buyer, thankfully, was nice about it and said, like, hey, listen, you know.
I'll give you time to go find a
house. I'll give you to these 2 days. I'll give you 48 hours or whatever it is and just tell us what your final decision is.
Sure.
You know, and so their final decision ended up being that they ended the deal, took the house off the market. So, you know, again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up here, you know, but that to me was, you know, an agent that really wasn't looking to help this person. They didn't tell them.
Well, sure, because like, they put them right into a deal and then you got to tell them, like, where are you going?
Right. Like they didn't.
Listen, you're going to sell your house and have a nice life after that. I guess you're going to live on the street. I don't know.
Right. That's the thing, especially right now in this market, it's at its peak. And right now, you know, if you sign and sell your house, okay. I don't want to use the word easy, but in some cases it is easy to get your house under contract, to get an offer accepted on your
really
house,
easy.
Right?
It's where you're going.
Right.
Is the
now
problem.
It's like, okay, where are you going? So that has to be planned out. Like that has to be thought out, planned out.
I agree.
I've went to many sellers and I said, hey, are you willing to stay somewhere temporarily?
Yeah.
You know, sell your house, let's get it sold, put the money in the bank, stay somewhere temporarily, and now you can continue having the time and luxury of shopping for that new home.
You're consulting them as you should.
Right, exactly. So I just feel like, that was a real experience where, like, you know, I knew that this was going on because of that person that called me about their situation. But I'm sure there's got to be so many cases of that going on.
Sure.
Where, you know, whoever they are didn't realize what they were getting themselves into. And then they wake up and they're like, oh shit. Like,
yeah, what am I going to do?
Where am
now?
I going to go?
Right.
Where am I going to live? How are we doing this? And then they already signed a contract.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a problem.
So again, it comes down to care. Like I said, care, giving a F. And so that's where I feel like, you know, that's how I look at myself, that I know and I feel good about what I do for my clients, that I know that I care and that I give a F. And, you know, I want to see it work out successful for them. I don't want to see them end up in some kind of a jam,
right?
You know, because I know getting yourself into a jam, especially with this type of market, is absolutely easy and possible.
Oh, it's the most stressful market that I think we've seen, right? I mean, the stress, I talk to loan officers and realtors all day, every day, and the stress that we're going through is probably some of the worst stress that I've seen us endure. In this,
for sure.
Am I right? I mean, it is
let me tell you that, you know,
not easy.
I mean, Alex, I want you to focus on your questions.
No, listen,
I don't know how much time we have today.
The questions are the questions. I'd rather just talk to you
because
I think people really just want to know what the hell is going on.
Right.
Right. I mean, the questions are nice, but I'd rather just hear what's really the real deal.
Yeah. I mean, about stress, like one of the stress things that I'm experiencing and have for a good while now is, you know, houses coming on the market. Houses, you know, they're getting listed coming soon. If my client's interested, I got to hurry and go in the showing time and schedule that showing as it's coming soon before it hits the market.
Right, because you know
for like that Saturday or that Sunday or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And if I don't hurry and do it fast enough, guess what? There's been times where, you know, my client tells me, and maybe they weren't sure they wanted to see it. So maybe it was coming soon for 4 days. And they contact me on the fifth day and say, John, listen, this one's coming soon. Can we get in this Saturday?
Yeah.
So I go and I look it up. All the time slots are all blacked out.
Yeah,
I can't even, you know, with the app or on my computer, I can't even click.
And that's the stress of not your client and saying, I can't get you in.
Right? Yeah. Or I have to go to the listing agent and beg them and say, listen, I see everything's blacked out on showing time. Can I please get in?
Yeah.
You know, can I please get in at some point? And I've had experience of a lot of agents being friendly and nice and letting us in. But what I'm saying, the stress is like, and some of them are not coming soon. Some of them hit the market, you know, just straight up active. And the stress is, you know, I got to get my client in there.
Yeah.
Because in some areas, not all, like I said, it is case by case, but in some areas, second day on the market, they already have a couple offers.
Sure they do.
Okay. And then there's been cases too, where let's say a house hit the market on like a Thursday. Most agents will drag it out till Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. So in one way, it's like the fact that you were the first in or you got your offer in first doesn't matter because they're going to drag it out till Monday or Tuesday.
They're going to take 16,000 of their offers until then.
So that's one way.
And play everybody against everybody.
But then I've also seen agents where they listed a house on a Thursday and they accepted an offer on a Friday night. So it didn't make it through the weekend.
Right.
And then I just experienced this literally like yesterday, texting with my client. There was a house active on the market and they advertised they're doing an open house this Sunday. Well, it didn't make it.
Yeah.
It didn't make it.
It's a shame. It's really what it is.
Well, what it is.
It's a lot of heartbreak in the market right now. You know.
Again, so, you know, what I tell my clients and buyers that I'm helping is the seller can do anything they want. And that's what buyers have to understand. Like they don't have to do the open house. They can cancel it. You know, they can take an offer on a Friday night and the house never saw the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, which I like, you know, when I list something, if I list it, I kind of do that strategy where if I know it's going to be hot too, list it on a Thursday and I want to see the house on the market for at least the weekend, because that's where, you know, there's some people that couldn't get to see the house until the weekend. So I want to make sure that those people come. But in, like I said, certain cases, again, the seller is allowed to do whatever they please.
Sure.
So if they get a fantastic offer,
they're going to take it.
They could sign it day one.
Yeah.
They could sign it, you know, like I said, or day two on a Friday night. So what I'm saying, the stress I have is I got to hurry. I got to get my clients in this house, especially if it's some, you know, something that they've told me that they're interested in seeing. Like, I got to hurry. We got to hurry and we got to do it.
Everything is fast.
I mean, so it's just constantly
doing
that.
You know, the biggest thing I see on my end is how fast things are moving. You know, they go under contract and everybody wants to close in 17 days, right? Everybody wants to. I mean, getting a mortgage, listen, guys, getting a mortgage is not easy, okay? You guys know that.
Especially now.
Especially now. We're beating you up. You know, from the day you come in and to the day you leave and to the day I see you at closing, not beating you up, probably the wrong words, but you're going through some things here in order to get the deal, right? So it's not an easy thing. So, you know, we get the contract and it says a 17-day closing. The realtor will say, okay, you know, you checked them out up front, which we do as much as we can, but there's always skeletons in the closet, right? And there's always things that we find out from these borrowers that probably are not the best things. And it seems like the country and the world that we live in right now is really messed up. I hate to say it, but there's just a lot of problems with these people, you know, with their credit or their savings or their income or their employment, whatever it may be. So it might look rosy up front, but then once it gets into processing and underwriting, and remember now, time is ticking. We got 17 days, everything is fast. Was the appraisal ordered? Is it done? Did it come back? You know, are we ready to go? You got the commitment letter. I mean, you know, it's 100 miles an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that's a changed world versus what we're used to. That's ever since the pandemic, right? Before the pandemic, it wasn't like that. But now it's just 100 miles an hour and you got to close quick and you got to know your game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you're going to get eaten alive,
yep.
you know, by everybody that's involved in that transaction.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So, you know, All right, so I want to touch on a few things before I hit you with it with the almighty NAR question. Right? It's coming, right? Interest rates are down over the last couple of days. If you're watching right now, we had a jobs report that came out yesterday that came in a lot lower than what we thought it was going to come in at, which is great for us. You know, when there's bad news in the market, it's good news for interest rates. It means they go down. So the last few days, I saw rates come from 7.5 down to the high sixes almost. So we're seeing a pretty a big swing there. So if you're in the market, you know, look out, because I think rates may continue to come down a little bit here. One other big thing I'm seeing here is don't use your credit cards while you're in process to buy a mortgage, right? Or process a mortgage. Too many people using credit cards, buying things while you're in processing. Kills the deal.
I actually just had a deal where I represented the seller. Yep. This was like 2 months ago.
Yep.
And that buyer did go to the furniture store.
There you go.
And they opened that account.
Right.
And they did, you know, put on credit.
Of course they did. Yep.
So they didn't realize. Yep. They just didn't realize, you know. And, you know, it's going to happen. And but anyway, so that's luckily disturbing. It was nothing. Luckily the payment, you know, and then with the debt to income ratio.
Usually we can save it, but sometimes we can't.
I know. Yeah. I've heard horror stories of people buying cars.
Yes.
While they're in the process of buying a house. And I've, you know, luckily it's never happened to one of my clients, yep. but I have heard of yep. it happening.
And we find out everything. We find out what you've been doing because we constantly scope you while you're in process. We know what credit cards you're using. If you're buying cars, we know. Okay. Yep. They know everything. Yep. We're lending you $400,000. We know what you're doing behind the scenes, pal.
Right.
Right. So, so that's a big one. And one other one I really want to touch on, well, actually two, but I'm going to get to one real quick. If you're a realtor, let your lending partner know that you gave out three names up front when you, when they're doing a pre-approval. Listen, and this is speaking from the heart of a loan officer who's on the street trying to, you know, survive. You know, a lot of my realtors will tell me up front, listen, Alex, you're awesome and I want to work with you. But, you know, and these might be newer realtors I don't know too much, but I've given out your name, but I just wanted to be honest with you that I did give it out to my guy too or another guy. You know, just to, so if you're up against some competition, I'm going to be legit with you and you're going to be up against some competition.
Right.
I appreciate that more than you giving out three names and not telling me and pitting me against other lenders and then making me go through the process and process these people and do the pre-approval and call the listing agent and tell the listing agent these people are awesome. The offer gets accepted and then they wind up going to your other lender, which I never even know you pitted me against.
Right. Right.
You know, it's not right. You know, just tell me up front I'm up against competition. I'll respect you more.
Right.
You know, right. And I know that, not to say 100%. You do that, but that's what's happening. And then realtors getting their mortgage licenses. I'm seeing a lot of realtors going out to get their mortgage license. So they feel that they could do the mortgage side and be a realtor at the same time.
That's interesting.
And
selling. Yeah.
Right. And then that goes all back to the NAR question. A lot of these realtors are getting their licenses because they're worried about NAR because they're thinking that they may not have any business as a buyer's agent anymore. So they figured, let me get my realtor's license. That's easier, right? That's, I can make some money there. So that if I'm slow being a realtor, I can now just sell mortgages.
Right.
Talk to me about that first, like what you think on that. And then we'll get to NAR. And what
on
you
the agents.
Getting like, yeah. Like, what do you think there?
Yeah. I mean, I get it. You know, you have in this, you know, year 2024 and what we're dealing with here, side hustle. You know, I appreciate, you know, anybody who's going out there and then now doing a side hustle or second business or
sure.
whatever.
You got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've done things as well that is like a side hustle, you know, so, and I enjoy doing it. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's a scary time. It's just flat out a scary time, you know, if you're in this business. So, you know, I'm not surprised. You know, I didn't hear that, you know, until you just told me, but, you know, about realtors going out and now they're going to get their mortgage license. Listen, everybody's got to do what they got to do.
Right.
And if they're looking at that as a strategy and whatever, or something that they've always been interested in doing as well, you know, great for them.
So
you
be
know?
It. Right.
So be it, you know, yep. great for them. But at the same time, as I said to you earlier, like, isn't the mortgage business a little slow right now? Like, you know, so it's like,
Like you're not going from bad to good. You're going from bad to bad.
Right. You're, you know,
or bad to worse maybe.
But look, now you're going to get from both angles. Yeah. You know, so, you know, hey, maybe that's a strategy. Maybe I should look into it. No, I'm not interested.
You know what it is? There's stresses on both sides of that business, right? Like if you thought it was stressful being a realtor, you come to our side and start doing the loan officer side. There's a lot of stress there too, man. You got to get the interest rate for that person. You got to make sure the paperwork's in. I mean, there's a lot going on, you know, and I don't think it's me getting my realtor license. I don't think I would want to do that because I know what you guys got to do. You guys got to go out to the houses and show these people those houses and be driving here. You could drive 100 miles in a day. You know, we don't do that as loan officers. No, we're more in the back end saying we got to make sure John's deal goes. Right. Because he's the one driving 100 miles an hour a day.
I mean, from my standpoint, you know, it's making me think, you know, thoughts are kind of racing in my head right now.
Yeah.
That, you know, I would just, instead of like getting this mortgage license and, hey, I'll do mortgages. I mean, okay, it's okay. But I think it's better for me personally and professionally to say, hey, here I am. You know, 17, 18 years later, I'm still here and I'm still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm still here fighting for my clients, you know, every day.
You're focused on what you do.
And that's what I do. And that's my business. So
that's good.
It's making me think, you know, like, you know, this interview is absolutely making me think and in a good way of, you know, what I need to do. Like I said, it's all about deciding today what you need to do.
So one of the last questions will be about NAR here. So what do you think? All right, so this settlement is a big thing, right? It's all I hear about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's realtors that are really worried that their commissions are going to get cut, maybe being driven out of the business by listing agents now because they won't, you know, the listing agents may suck up a big part of the business from the buyers directly, which could happen. Does it scare you? You know, does it, because you're a guy that, you know, like I said, have been around, so you're not a new agent. Right. So you have buyers and sellers. You've done both sides. So are you worried about what's going to happen?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm worried and I'm disgusted about what they're doing. I think to me, in my opinion, it is a bunch of BS.
Okay.
That's in my opinion. You know, there's so many realtors and people that like, I don't know how they do it, but they like, you know, they'll comment on it. And in 2 seconds, they're all about, okay, let's, you know, find the positive and let's, you know, we just need to adapt. And any agent who's not ready to adapt, you know, they're going to be, you know, whatever, but they're just, you know, they put this smile on and they put this positivity on. I'm not like that. You know, unfortunately I do get frustrated. So, you know, I think it is a bunch of BS. I think it's a huge money grab by the attorneys that pushed it and they created it, you know? And it's just, you know, unbelievable, unreal. And it's just weird. I've had thoughts in the past where I was like, they're going to get rid of realtors eventually. I've had that thought. And
I bet you, they're trying to. It feels like that they're trying to some extent, you know, get rid of realtors. And, you know, listen, if they get rid of realtors, loan officers have a problem, guys. So just remember that. Like if you're a loan officer on the street and you're not worried somewhat a little bit about the settlement, and I don't care, you could be as cocky as you want and say, you're right, put a smile on them. Yeah, I don't care what's going on with the realtors because that's their problem and we had a commission problem in the past and they cut our commissions too. No. If these guys go out of business or there's not a lot of them anymore and you reduce 50 to 75% of them, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Unless you can find a way to get the consumer direct, which is not easy because I've been in it 25 years and to find consumer direct is not an easy thing. You need these guys. So yeah. I agree with you, man.
I mean,
I do.
Like, you know, it's just, it's a shame what's happening and what's being allowed to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's being allowed to happen. And I don't think it's right. I think, you know, with this law, you know, again,
there's going to
be so many comments. There's going to be so many comments, you know, about this video and what I've said or what I'm going to say here.
Hey, listen, I've gotten some good comments so far on some of the videos that we've done. And, you know, I said to myself, I shouldn't take these personal. So you say whatever the hell you want and then however you want to say it. And then we don't care about the comments because a lot of people have been saying, dude, if you care about the people commenting, you don't do the show anymore.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? I'm just saying,
right? So just
there's
going to
be some comments here.
Yeah, because you say whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because like I said, some of these you know, realtors that they just like,
I know,
put a positive spin on it. Like, right, right. And that's great. Like, and again, I guess I got to suck it up and I need to adapt too. And I need to do what I got to do. And I guess I'm going to, you know, but yeah, I think it is just, you know, for the record, a bunch of BS, you know, and I think it's a huge money grab by the attorneys. And, you know, it's just a shame that's happening. And it, let's talk, you know, I'm always about my clients. So let's talk that angle of it. This is not helping a buyer, you know, and it's not going to help the seller either. Okay. And what they're suing about, these options have always existed. That's what real estate's all been about. And it's all been about the consumer notice and explaining to clients the consumer notice and what their options are and what's negotiable. So the things that they're suing about, it's unreal. Like, you know, nothing's ever been fixed. It's always been options. It's always been negotiable. You know, sellers have had these choices for a very, very long time, for many years. So, but again, yeah.
You think it's gonna weed out a big part of this business? Like your colleagues and stuff like that?
You know what? I don't know. I think that, you know, again, to be honest, I have to watch a lot more videos and I got to read a lot more articles about this NAR thing.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I actually just got an email that came through from like one of the, you know, higher up people at NAR, you know, kind of giving us an update. And I didn't read it yet. So I got it. Like, there's just so much I got to, right, you know, do. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, like I said, it's, you know, let's put ourselves in the buyer's shoes. You know, it's hard enough out there with these high rates and the regulations and everything. And with the market, with there not being enough inventory, there's not enough houses to go around, which is why in some areas they're getting 10 or more offers. You know, so it's hard enough for a buyer to have to deal with the current conditions of the market. So, and now they're going to throw this in, you know, so now, and now the buyer may have to, you know, pay commission to their agent, you know, so it's like, wow, what perfect timing,
right,
you know, to do this.
Right, let's suck some more money out of people.
You know, so,
right.
So, you know, that kind of sucks. I mean, again, you know, the business will continue on, you know. There's going to be buyers.
People will always buy houses, right? I mean, that's it. I mean, it's
100%. But like I said, it just sucks that this was allowed to happen and it's happening. And, you know, and that what worries me is like if they could get away with doing this, okay, and then laying out ground rules and new laws and rules about how you practice real estate countrywide. Okay, well, what are they going to do in the next couple of years?
Right.
You know, now they decide, oh, well, this is also not right either, so we're going to do this.
Right.
Or, as I said, worst case scenario, eventually getting to the point where they just want to wipe out realtors and have realtors just go away and somehow still operate people buying and selling houses, but just in a very, very different way.
Right. We don't want that to happen.
Of course not. I mean, you know, I don't want to give anybody, you know, ideas over here.
Right. No, it's true. I mean, it's scary. I mean, that we have to talk about that, but that's really, you know, what's happening. You know, I think that we do got to stay positive. It is tough to stay positive in this type of market because you're right. You listed all the things that are really not going right, which is inventory and interest rates. And now, you know, buyers have to pay extra fees to their agents directly and all this other stuff going on. So, you know, you do got to try to stay positive and build your business. And I think what's good about me and John, is just keep our head down. We can do what we do best, and that's just talk to people and help them get the mortgage done and get their houses sold or you get them to buy something and consult them the right way and just keep your nose clean and just do what you got to do because you're always going to need guys like us, right? You can have AI and you can have all this computer stuff and you can have the eliminating commissions, but you're always going to need people like us that are helping people because they want to deal with real people like us who actually do the business every day and know what's going on.
Yeah. And it's about people to people. I mean, like I said, how I've always asked my clients, how do you feel about this? Are you sure about this? You know, just kind of being there for them,
Yeah.
you know? And, that's what the human element is,
right.
You know, and especially a human element of somebody who's a professional, experienced, and looking out for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's important.
This guy is pure, man. I mean, he's given it to, you know, us the way that I told him to do it up front. Like, there's no BS. It's just laying it on the line. I appreciate you coming on. You know, we could go on and on, right?
Yeah, I know you didn't get to all the questions.
We've already we're at an hour here, so I don't want to go too far. I think we touched on the biggest thing. I guess the only other thing I could see is your social media is loaded with family. I love that. He's a family guy, you know,
absolutely.
He's got kids and, you know, so do I. So, you know, I think in this business, it's nice to have kids and be able to, you know, spend time with them and have fun with them. Right. I mean, that's
100%. Like, and you know, and my kids are still young, you know, and over the past couple of years up until today, you know, I've tried to savor the moments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, when my kids were in preschool, there was a good amount of time where I was able to go with my wife to pick them up from preschool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I savored those moments.
Right.
You know,
when
your kid, you know, was sitting around the floor and a book was being read to them.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they tell the kids, hey, your mommies and daddies are here. You know, school's over. And they get up and they come running towards you and they give you a hug. So I savor that. And even today now, 2024, I pick my kids up from school every day.
That's great.
So, and it's,
you gotta do
that. I appreciate it because I know that there's, you know, fathers like myself, but they may not be able to have that luxury to do that.
Most
you know,
don't.
And freedom to do that. So I appreciate that. You know, I'm basically all about freedom. Yeah. I love working and I love working hard for my clients, but I also love, the freedom and, you know, spending time with family.
You know what it is? I'm wrong sometimes that I get annoyed that I have to pick up my kids here or pick up my kids there or drive me here. But one day that won't be. And
100%.
Then, you know, and then I'm going to probably really regret being mad that I had to drive them to their friend's house or pick them up at school or take them on the weekend to a play practice, whatever it may be. You know, it'll be gone, right? And it's going to hit me.
100%. You know? So same, yeah. I have those feelings too. Sometimes it is inconvenient.
Of course.
And,
you know, we are human, right?
Right. So, you know. Yeah. Sometimes it's inconvenient. And obviously I want to hustle and I want to buckle down with my business and do this and accomplish, you know, so much in a day. But at the same time, it is something that, this is only a small period of time.
Right.
And all of a sudden
it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone.
So, I'm trying to enjoy
that.
And
we'll be old men, right? With gray hair or no hair or whatever, we'll be a lot heavier than we are now. And then we're going to say, you know what? This is all we got now is real estate. And then it's going to be like, we'll have no clients left because all the young people aren't going to want to deal with us.
Right.
You know, because we're just going to be old timers. Right. So then we're going to say, damn, I wish I was 20 years ago where I could pick up my kid for school and probably do it a different way.
Yeah.
You know, so
100%. I'm all about it and I love it and enjoy that. And like I said, I appreciate the freedoms that I have to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, thank you for coming on. You did awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You did great.
I wish I would have answered more of your questions.
I might have went on and on too much. I use, and to let everybody know, every week I do research on who we have coming on. And then, you know, my daughter puts together the questions for me, which, you know, she's been part of my team now. And, you know, so, you know, it's, and I try to get to them, but I'd rather talk to the person themselves and really hear about what they think. And so, you know, your answers were awesome. And I think it's more of what people want to hear versus just a scripted question.
Oh yeah.
You know, so, I think you did great.
I hope I did. I'm definitely going to go back.
And we'll
and
see
watch
the comments,
this.
Right. We're going to see who trashes us. And if you want to trash us, then don't watch, right? Just move on. And there's another podcast.
Right.
Know? So, you know, I'm not changing the world here, you know, so.
Yeah.
All right, guys, listen,
have a great week.
You're welcome.
Alex,
Thank you for coming on. We'll bring you back on down the road. We'll see.
Yeah.
Let's see what I did.
You know, like I said, because I'm at a crossroads, I need to make something happen. Like we all do.
Yes.
You know, right now it's a hard time.
That's what I mean. So we'll see what happens. I think I'm going to bring back on a lot of people just to see if they stuck to what they told me they were doing and are they more successful or are they out of the business or are they in it?
What changes have they made?
Right. What changes have they made? And then we'll talk then. And guys, we'll see you next week. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
All right, man.
Appreciate
it. No problem.